Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Follow us on Facebook at Locked On Bulls. Email us with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. If you're a Bears fan, they have their first preseason game tonight. Make sure you check out Locked On Bears with Arthur Arkush, also part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Sean Hyken of Bleacher Report and NBC Sports. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. Cody, we've got a schedule now.
NBA schedule is out. Still 82 games. 41 at home for the Bulls. 41 on the road.
They play each of the other 29 teams at least once.
That's very true. At least twice,
That is also true.
As is NBA tradition, you get to see everyone come to the United Center. But we know you are most looking forward to Tom Thibodeau coming to the United Center. Derrick Rose coming to the United Center. Derrick Rose coming with his buddy Joakim Noah. And we have the long-awaited schedule release. Knicks-Bulls at the United Center, November 4th. So that's like, what, second week of the season?
Second week of the season. And then about a week after that, November 10th, Dwayne Wade is going to play his first game back in Miami with against the Heat as a member of another team, which is going to be probably, the Rose and Noah return is going to be pretty emotional, but the Wade and...
Even more emotional,
Wade,
probably.
Because Wade in Miami, like, league-wide... Just because they've won multiple championships there, and Wade was a finals MVP, and he was part of that iconic Big Three team with LeBron and Bosch, and he had been the one guy who had been there the whole time. Like, the idea of Wade playing for a team besides the Heat is like... I mean, we've talked about this before. It would be like if Dirk left the Mavericks. It would be like the first year that Paul Pierce was playing for the Nets, and then he came back to the Celtics. Came back against the Celtics, and they did a tribute video and stuff. Like, that's going to be a pretty emotional
night. That's definitely the clubhouse leader for any Bulls game-related emotion.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade, back in Miami, where he won three NBA titles. And, I mean, he's been a man conflicted still since he signed with the Bulls. I'm not saying he doesn't like the Bulls, but at the same time, he went up there, he told reporters in Miami in a 25-minute media session a few days after he agreed with the Bulls. I mean, he told them how hard it was, just the internal struggle. He came to Chicago, had a lot of great things to say about the Bulls, but said he already missed the Heat a little bit too. You know, you could just get that vibe from him. So the NBA does it right, does that basically the third week of the season for us to see that one. A night that will be emotional, but you won't see it outwardly.
No.
Tom Thibodeau bringing his Minnesota Timberwolves, his young pups, his young wolves to the United Center on December 13th. In the middle of the holiday season, just leading up to the Christmas spirit, we're going to have Grumpy Tibbs coming back to the United Center. And I predict standing ovation. Time and distance have only made the heart grow fonder in the minds of you, the Bulls fan, and Tibbs is coming back to United Center. That's one we had scheduled too, basically, Sean. I mean, it was Knicks, Wolves is what we were looking at when the schedule came out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, it's also, like, because of the way that the last season went, I think a lot of Bulls fans are feeling like the Bulls front office made the wrong decision by firing Tom and bringing in Fred Hoiberg just based on the way that the last... season went with essentially the same roster. They went from winning 50 games and competing with the Cavs in the second round to not making the playoffs and only winning 42 games. And I think what that's done is that's really only enhanced Tibbs' stature among Bulls fans. And so I think they're going to be happy to see him. And the other thing is, like, I think they're a year away from seriously contending still, but that's going to be a good game, too. The Timberwolves, I mean, with Carl Anthony Towns, like, this is our, since they're in the Western Conference, they only come through once. This is going to be our one chance to actually see him in person, which is going to be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And Tibbs has already been back to United Center once, and that was for USA Basketball here recently. I mean, in a coaching capacity, he's been back once. He's been back, I believe, as well to take in some NCAA tournament basketball when it was at the United Center in March. But he got a good standing ovation, not wild, but a very hearty round of applause when Team USA hosted Venezuela and all the assistants were announced on Team USA. I would expect that to be even more bananas on December 13th when Minnesota's here. It's going to be so weird. Like, that whole night's just going to have this cloud and vibe of Tibbs hanging over the Bulls organization, because like you said, when the Bulls fired Tibbs in May 2013, I felt like...
15.
Or excuse me, absolutely, May 2015. I feel like it was a 50-50 split, more or less, among fans of how can you let this guy go to he's worn out his welcome and run guys into the ground.
Right.
I mean, now, a lot definitely... of that 50%, descending 50%, has gone back towards
because Thibodeau. Of the way that the last season went.
Absolutely. And it, like you said, it'll be a great game, but the Bulls get the Timberwolves twice. They get the Knicks three times this year, but only one time in Chicago. The other two times are in New York, so you only get one chance to see Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah back at the United Center. I mean, what do you think their reception is going to be? I mean, Bulls fans love those guys. They defined an era, but it's a little different because the ending was, I guess it was a different ending than Tibbs kind of wearing out his welcome, but those guys were injured so much, but those guys are beloved in Chicago.
They absolutely are. I mean for different reasons. Derek, obviously, he's from Chicago, so he, yeah. You know, there's a lot of people are still kind of holding on to that connection. And he, you know, and also just, you know, what could have been, because, you know, he was the MVP, and then the next season he blows out his knee in the playoffs. He's never the same after that. He misses essentially two whole seasons. And then when he comes back, he's not consistently the same guy. And then with Noah, like, Noah's not from here, but just with what Noah meant in the community, yeah. All the stuff that he's done, and he still does, like, I've still seen pictures on Twitter this summer. He still does community events in Chicago with his foundation, which is
it's still going to be based in Chicago.
Yeah, focused on ending gun violence and giving kids productive things to do in school and kind of some of those areas of town where that's an issue. Like, he's still huge in the community. He still means a lot in the community. And, I mean, he was just a guy that, you know, he had that incredible season in 2013-14 when Rose missed the whole year. Joe won Defensive Player of the Year. He was, I think he was
fourth in MVP voting. Or something.
So he's the guy. Those are both guys that are always going to have a place.
You got to remember the last side of Joakim Noah at the United Center really was him running off the court
with
that injured shoulder. And, like, so he never even got, like, a proper goodbye or anything. And I'm not acting like Derrick Rose. There wasn't any, like, you know, senior year of college moment where he walks off the court on senior night for the final time either. But Joe's ending was just so horrible and so unfortunate for him after all he meant. It'll be nice to see him get back in front of a crowd that can give him a big ovation again.
Right, it's going to be similar to after they traded Luol Deng, and then the next, you know, he didn't, but they traded him to Cleveland in early 2014. They didn't come back later that season, but the next season when he was with the Heat,
okay.
They signed, you know, or they did it. They did a video tribute, and it was really emotional, and they got a huge reception.
Yeah, I think the Bulls video staff here needs to get working on the Rose and Noah tribute videos already. I don't think they're ever going to queue one up for Thibodeau. I think probably.
Oh God, no!
All footage of that has been not destroyed's the wrong word, but let's just say
embargoed.
It's being embargoed and hidden in the depths of the United Center, possibly underground. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, there's gonna. I mean, I think if they could get away with not showing him at all, I think they would do that. They're gonna have to do it because they have to at the very beginning during the intros. They have to say the head coach of the Timberwolves is Tom Thibodeau. They have to show him once. But you know that the Bulls game ops department has hard orders from Gar and Pax to not do any close-ups of Tibbs during the game.
Yeah, if nothing else on this podcast, we like to trace back and relive old Tibbs, if not quotes, kind of nuggets or stories. And this reminds me of an epic one where Tibbs was once asked, just kind of offbeat, I think one of the players was missing the game because he had the flu or something, I don't even remember who it was, but someone asked him, you know, hey, have you ever missed a game, like, at any coaching rank, any level of your coaching career? Whether when you were assistant, whether you're back in college, working your way up through the NBA, all of that. Head coach, can you ever remember missing a game? And he's like, no. No, like, he the wheels were spinning in his mind, and, like, he traced back, and he couldn't remember a time where he ever missed a game. So, you know, that's going to be one of his favorite games he's ever taken the sideline for, will be his return to the United Center, even if it's a dark comedy and humor for Tom Thibodeau. But,
and by the way, speaking of their relationship, you saw something interesting on the Bulls website.
Oh, this is absolutely hysterical.
I didn't see this until you pointed it out to me when we were getting ready to record this.
So, I mean, we knew the schedule was coming out at 4:45. So 4:45 rolls around. The Bulls don't always send out the email immediately. Like, sometimes it lags 5 minutes behind. Sure. Wait till the NBA does their thing. But, like, they got their website ready to go, Bulls.com, with the schedule right at 4:45. So I kind of perused over there and browsed, clicked on the schedule, and it has the whole schedule lined up. It hasn't come out on email, but it is on their website. And every single game is basically, you know, Knicks at Bulls, United Center, 7 p.m., and then it doesn't say
It'll
anything.
It'll say, like, what channel it's
yeah,
on.
Yeah, what channel it is, nothing after it. Except the two games against the Timberwolves. It said, you know, Tuesday, December 13th, Timberwolves at Bulls at the United Center, 7 p.m., and then it had, in what's otherwise white space on the internet for the rest of the games, it had season series, 1-0 in favor of the Bulls.
Well, you have to keep in mind they did win the Summer League Championship game.
And it had it for the return game at Minnesota as well. So 80 games on the schedule with no connotations for any team, except the Timberwolves had season series 1-0, as if the Bulls were touting that they'd already beat them in the Summer League title. And I immediately found this hilarious. Just hilarious. Because, I mean, we love sports hate. We love the little feuds. Again, it's sports.
We love the pettiness. We're totally here for it.
Absolutely. Like, we get a kick out of it. So I tweet this out. Gets a lot of traction on Twitter, on Bulls Twitter. And I think everyone found it humorous. But unfortunately, I have bad news. I was informed it was a glitch by the NBA servers. The NBA controls, obviously, the team sites and
right,
such.
Right.
And it was something between the servers and the website. The NBA, something the Bulls did not control. The NBA had Summer League season series up, and for some reason, everything got deleted except that. The Bulls had asked the NBA to get it off there by 4:45. Kind of a little oversight. Coincidentally or not, about 5 or 10 minutes after I tweeted it out, it was fixed. Again, a glitch. The Bulls are not touting their Summer League title over the Timberwolves. But just for the record, Sean and I think they absolutely should if that's what they want to do. Because we find that to be epic.
See, if I were them, I would have just left it up.
Like, just play totally clueless. Oh,
just
no,
be
what?
Like, oh, no, we had no idea that this was like that.
Huh? What? Deadspin picked this up? Oh, that's in the headlines. Let's do this. Except the problem with that is Tibbs is standing on a little bit taller of a hill right now than the Bulls are. And
because with the Bulls, if the
Bulls are better than the Timberwolves, that would work. Right now, the future's a little brighter in Minnesota, I think.
Right, because like the Bulls might have a better record, but all like anybody's talking about with the Bulls is, oh, how is the three alphas gonna work, and like, how is Rondo gonna get along with Hoiberg, and like, is Jimmy Butler gonna be the man, or who's the man? With the Timberwolves, like, the Timberwolves might not make the playoffs this year. They might, but they might not. But they're kind of where the Thunder were in like 2009 before they got really good. But you can just tell that they have two foundational level guys, and then especially now that they have a coach who has a reputation around the league like Tom's.
So, yeah, unfortunately, what I thought would have just been one of the greatest stories of kind of shade, you know, shade of the day, perhaps.
Shade of the day.
That would have been great, but it was, again, a computer error. What else stands out to you on the schedule, Sean? Opening night, October 27th, the Bulls get going 2 nights after the NBA season opens. Bulls host the Celtics. I don't want to say revamped, but Al Horford in the mix. Going to be a real good Celtics team. A lot of people peg them to be second best in the East. Interesting matchup to you on opening night
for
the Bulls.
I'm really interested to see how Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley and the future Brooklyn picks that they have do. Because you know that if those Brooklyn picks outplay the Bulls on that night, or like if Jaylen Brown has a good game, then we're going to get all the Celtics fans being like, see, we do have enough to trade for Jimmy Butler.
Celtics Twitter's got to be a special place because they have so many assets but haven't ascended yet.
But they also
so highly value them.
And they don't want to give any of them up. It's like, hey, Jay Crowder is untouchable. We can't do that to get a top 15 guy in the league with
Jimmy Butler's on the Olympic team. He's, I think, everyone agrees, probably top 20, you can say top 15 maybe, on the Olympic team.
The below market contract.
Terrific on a below market contract now in the new salary cap era and TV money. But the Celtics, you'll never get Avery Bradley and Jay Crowder
and the
off
Brooklyn
them, according to Celtics Twitter. Maybe not Danny Ainge, but according to Celtics Twitter.
Well, according to Danny Ainge, too, because he doesn't really like to give up those assets for stuff either. But anyway, the other one that I'm interested in, they're playing the Spurs
on Christmas Day.
They're playing them twice. They're coming back here on December 8th.
Yeah.
And that's going to be interesting because that's going to be Pau Gasol's
Oh, that's very true.
First
A lot of good feelings that night, probably.
I think
from
so.
From the Bulls' perspective, the crowd will have a more mixed reaction.
It's not going to be nearly the same as the Derek and Joakim return.
Absolutely. This is why, I guess, this is what is so intriguing to me, is, like, the Bulls are probably going to have, like, as an organization, be like, we love you, pal! And the fans are going to be like, we loved you, pal. Eh, you didn't play pick-and-roll defense. I'm glad you're in San Antonio. Thanks for those two All-Star years. Bulls fans will be like, we love you, Tibbs. Bulls will ignore him. Derek and Joakim probably a little bit more on the same page, but again, there's just so many subplots to that. And this is why we get so interested in the release dates of the NBA. You know, we were sitting here 2 weeks trying to figure out when they were going to release the date for when they were going to release the dates of games.
We've basically gotten a straight month of episodes out of what Gabrielle Union and Dwayne Wade are posting on Snapchat, and now we have actual, tangible stuff to talk about with next season. The training camp is still 6 weeks away, but, you know, we have a schedule now.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll read these off the top. I like looking at it early in the year because I think, I've said this before, I think we've touched on it a little bit. A good start's important for the Bulls.
Sure.
Because of the, not predicament, but just where they find themselves with so many fresh faces. And like we said, the three alphas have egos. Hoiberg's got a lot of pressure on him in year two to figure this out. The disappointing season last year, again, if you start 5-11, sports talk headlines, it's going to spiral out of control kind of fast. But you want to have a good start, good vibes, and that's where the Bulls can kind of make some headway. Everyone gets along. So you got Celtics, Pacers, then you go at Nets, at Celtics, home Knicks, at Pacers, home Magic, at Hawks, at Miami Heat, home Wizards, before they take off, I believe it's the circus trip, six-game West Coast swing. But that first kind of slate of 10 games or whatever, it's, to me, it seems like a good opportunity to get off to a good start. We know those two games against Boston, and they're going to be a good team. But, you know, you got five of those games at home. Wizards you should beat at home. Magic you should take care at home.
Brooklyn should
win on the road to Brooklyn. I mean, the Hawks got Dwight Howard, but they're going to take some time to get together. That's very much a winnable game.
The Wizards are also very winnable.
Yeah, so like it feels like a fair chance for the Bulls to get out to a good start there. And I mean, how important do you think that is?
It's hugely important because then they go on the circus trip. And most of the teams they play are not, I mean, they have a couple of easy games on that one, but, you know, their first three
Lakers
games...
Lakers and Nuggets are kind
sure,
of the easier
sure,
ones.
Sure, but
the first two.
Their first three games on that circus trip are in Portland, in Utah, and in LA against the Clippers, and two of those three teams, the Blazers and the Clippers, were playoff teams last year, and the Jazz, I think, are the team around the league that everybody
love
really
the
expects.
Jazz. They love Rudy Gobert. They love these young guys. Everyone's projecting the next step for Gordon Hayward. They like Rodney Hood. Like, how good are the Jazz going to be? I'm not quite as high
I think
as everyone else
team.
Is. But yeah, they should be a playoff team. So Bulls need to get off to a good start on that. What else? I mean, just looking at this whole schedule, like we said, 82 games, 41 at home, 41 on the road, like always. You get to play the Bucks a whole bunch, the Pacers a whole bunch, the Pistons a whole bunch. What else jumps off the schedule at you?
Well,
you mentioned earlier Russell Westbrook before we started recording.
I'm really looking forward to January 9th because I'm just so excited for this Thunder season. Now that Russell Westbrook has signed his essentially 1 year extension with the Thunder, he's going to be there this year. We're not going to have to worry about him getting traded this year. So he's going to be playing this year in Oklahoma City at the very least. And you know that he's going to be, just because, you know, the way he feels about Kevin Durant leaving and he has something he has to prove to everybody, he's going to go out there every single night and try to just drop 50 points on whoever he's playing.
Well, if you remember the 2013-14 season, I believe, or was it 2014-15?
14-15.
14-15 when KD was out with the foot injury, right?
Right.
And Russ went into turbo mode. He came to United Center, and like I'd never seen anyone play at such a high level of intensity. And that was for like, what, the last month of the season or so, and Russ is going to be doing this for the whole season now. Circle that one on your calendar. Definitely worth your money to see Russ Westbrook come. Obviously, the Bulls have the two longer road trips. The one in November is a circus trip. The one in early February, six games again on, I believe that's the ice skating show trip where people come twirl at the United Center. And I think I was looking back at old tweets. We'll have to get an update on this in the next year. But Blackhawks chairman Rocky Wirtz has said that they are the United Center and kind of the brass is open to letting those contracts expire. So the old circus trip and ice show road trip might go by the wayside in the coming years for the Bulls and Blackhawks. So I guess enjoy it while we can, while they have these long swings. No matter what you do on the schedule, you're going to have long 5-6 game road swings at times. But that second one is really tough in February at Thunder, at Rockets, at Kings, a place the Bulls never play well in Sacramento.
Well, hey, you know who's going to be very motivated against the Kings? Rajon Rondo.
Very true. Oh, that reminds me. So we've been saying, I know this is a little slightly off topic, we've been talking about all these reunions, right? And you just brought up the Rondo reunion. A reunion we won't see is one that we should have told you this on the last podcast, and maybe the podcast before that, and maybe the one before that. There will not be a Cam Bear-style reunion game for the Bulls this year. Sorry to break the sad news. Yes, pour one out for me, pour one out for Sean, pour one out for Cam Bear-style. Actually, maybe you don't need to pour one out for him, because he's going to be playing in Australia with Brisbane, I believe.
He probably got more money from them than he was gotten in the NBA.
Probably true, but he was in that Spencer Dinwiddie, Cam Bear-style, the minor trade between the Bulls and Pistons. We missed it on the waiver wire a couple weeks ago, but the Pistons parted ways with him. He's going to Australia to play, but no reunion game there. Trying to think any other reunion games here. We've got the Knicks, we've got the T-Wolves, we got Rondo facing his Kings again, Wade facing his Heat. Anything else pop off the... I guess Mike Dunleavy.
Went to the Cavs game. That's maybe secondary to LeBron and Wade facing off against each other.
You brought that up, though. Bulls and Cavs in the same division. D-Wade, LeBron in the same division. So four matchups a year. And again, those guys, they're such good friends still. They vacation together
sometimes. Banana boat squad.
LeBron said in the past he wanted to face D-Wade in the playoffs. He said this past year.
It could happen. If the Cavs
didn't get through this past year... But if the Bulls sneak in the playoffs this year, maybe they get a 1-8-2-7 matchup.
I could see it.
Maybe a round two matchup with the Cavs, right?
Right. No, I think it's possible.
How do you think the Bulls match up against the Cavs? Like, to me, it feels like the Bulls would have the potential to get run off the court by the Warriors, but could play the Cavs tough because they play them tough so much. You know, D-Wade knows LeBron well. He's gone up against those Cavs. And to me, the Bulls-Cavs matchup, I don't want to say it's like some rivalry renewed, because you don't count that unless it's the playoff vibe and you know that showdown's coming like it did in 2014-15 with a chance to go to the NBA Finals kind of on the line. But I think Bulls-Cavs definitely get amped back up again as far as just interesting to watch and kind of being a big deal that it didn't feel like last year all the time.
It is, but at the same time, the Cavs still have LeBron, so I don't think it's very close, even if the games are competitive, like... One team has LeBron and the other one doesn't.
Very true.
One more thing on the calendar. March 2nd, Bulls fans will have their first chance to see in person Kevin Durant and the Warriors.
That's true. The one and only time the Warriors come to the United Center this season. Last year, Steph Curry, the pregame warm-up, I'd never seen so many Bulls fans there so early. So I'm sure that will be a big deal. It is worth noting, the schedule's pretty darn easy to finish off. So if the Bulls are in that playoff seeding, fight, if the Bulls are on that 7, 8, 9, 10 seed line trying to get one of those top 8 spots, it ends with a trip at the 76ers, at the Nets, home against the Magic, home against the Nets. Four W's to end the year, maybe? That's what it sounds like, right?
On paper, that's what you would think it would be.
Finish strong if you're in that playoff fight, so maybe that's something to just keep in mind. I know, store away at the back of your mind. But that's more or less, I guess, the Bulls' schedule breakdown. We'll keep doing it here in the coming weeks.
We might do just like month by month per episode. We have so much time to fill before training camp and so little to talk about.
That's very true. In other Bulls news, I don't know, you might call this soft Bulls news, not hard breaking news. I guess the only thing to update you on, Bobby Portis, according to a Snapchat, rolled a 187 in bowling, was really pumped about bowling a 187. It appears he won a wager with his friends who lost, and apparently the payoff was Bobby just got to tell them to do push-ups at any time he wanted. He was out there saying, drop and give me 15. He had like two snaps on this. Get a chuckle. You go to Bobby Portis' last Snapchat. It's got a big old timestamp. 3:51 a.m. He's telling his buddies, get down on the floor, give me 15 push-ups. So Bobby Portis, running a tight ship, with his group of friends. We know he's been around Chicago a lot, been at the Advocate Center a lot training.
Yeah.
But that's your boy, Bobby Portis, Sean.
That is my boy. And yeah, I mean, it's not at all surprising. He probably just like randomly at 3:15 in the morning decides he's going to do push-ups. That just kind of seems like how he's wired.
And yeah.
And
yeah.
On that note, I think we're going to end this for today. But, you know, as always, subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, TuneIn, Google Play. Subscribe to Locked On Bears if you're a Bears fan. Yeah. Subscribe to Locked On NBA, Locked On NFL, Locked On Fantasy Football, Locked On Fantasy Basketball, any of the other Locked On podcasts that catch your interest.
It's really great stuff. As always, follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Hyken, at Cody Westerlin. Most of all, subscribe on iTunes. Tell your friends. You can also find us on Stitcher, Audio Boom, everywhere else I think Sean just said. But until next time, thanks for listening and take care.